Feel it in the atmosphere. The spirit of the Lord. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him this morning. Let's do exactly what the songwriter is saying in that song. I'm decreeing and declaring on this morning, I am going to get my blessing. Y'all already know when that song come on, I'm getting up, I'm dancing, I'm swinging my hands in the air just like I don't care, because I know that I have the ability to receive my blessing. All I got to do is believe, receive, and continue to stay on the path of righteousness and strive for holiness with no apology. Good morning, good morning, good morning on this faithful Friday, fantastic Friday, whatever you want to call it. We do know that God is faithful. We know that today is the day that he has made, and we shall rejoice in it. I say again to you, good morning all over God's land, God's people. I am just so grateful and thankful that we all are meeting up again on one accord. It does not matter if you're in South Africa, Fiji, Nigeria, Canada, Egypt, Jamaica, New York, North Carolina, wherever you're at. We are on one accord, and we are just so thankful that God continues to place us together on one accord, on one stage, on one, whatever you may call it. We are here, and that's something worthy to be praised about. That's something you should be magnifying the Lord about, just thanking him that he finds you fit. He finds you worthy to continue to wake you up, to come and sit at his executive meeting as he breaks the bread of life with us. He feeds us his daily manna, and that is an awesome blessing. He continues to pour the water out where we will thirst no more. How much more? How much more? But I'm going to keep telling him day after day, I need more, Father. I need more of you. Less of me, but more of you. And I pray that you're doing the same. It is a wonderful, I'm just excited on this morning to be in the presence of the Lord, because he is here. And if you can't feel it, then do a little rewinding and walk back into where we're at now, because he is here. So I say thank you, thank you, thank you. We just say thank you to God and let him know he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Good morning, Mother Jackson. Will you please bring us in prayer?
Good morning to each and every one of you this morning. First, I give honor to Jesus Christ, who's the head of my life, and to Apostle Temple, and to First Lady Lakeisha Temple, and to each and every one. Father God, in the name of Jesus, as I come this morning, God, just thanking you for another brand new day, God. Thanking you, God, for breathing down on us, God, giving us another opportunity, hallelujah, just to praise your holy name, God, just to lift you up this morning, God, this morning, Lord. I lift each and every one of us up, God, in the name of Jesus, God. I ask you, let your perfect will be done, God. Not our will, but your will be done in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. How you just hold us and rock us, God. Even when we don't know which way to go, God. Hallelujah, this morning. Hallelujah. I know the Lord shake, God. When you tell us to go left sometimes, God, we go right. I know the Lord shake. But yet and still you love us, God. Well, we thank you for your love and kindness. That's what drawed us. We go the Lord shake, God. Your love, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we lift up the sick and shed in everywhere this morning, God. Oh, God, as I say each and every time, by your strength, hallelujah, we are healed in the name of Jesus, God. Yes, Lord, we are healed in the name of Jesus, God. We ask you to be that mind regulator for us, God, in the name of Jesus. That heart beats, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, make us real like you, God. Make us real, Lord, this morning, God. Oh, God, give us that love, that government love, God, that we can love in spite of all, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you this morning, God. You didn't have to wake us up this morning, God, but you breathed down on us, and we begin to praise your holy name. You're worthy to be praised, God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. We lift up our kids this morning, God. Oh, God, we ask that you continue to chill and protect them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Lord, continue to walk with them, talk with them, Lord. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, this morning, God. We just thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I thank you this morning, God. I have to say thank you, Lord, because you've been mighty good to me, God. You didn't have to, but you did, God. And I say thank you this morning, God. In the name of Jesus, God. I lift up the deck of the They're Marie family. They kind of today, God. Give them strength. To go out in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let them know that you don't make no mistakes. Oh, but we thank you today, God. Watch over us, God. Watch over us. Watch us right in this. Fire, Lord, this morning, God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God. I thank you, God, because each and every day, God, you're doing great. You're doing breakthroughs, God. You're bringing deliverance for us, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Don't let us forget who you are, God. Because we know you're real, God. You're real, Lord. So keep us in the bloom. In the name of Jesus, Lord, this morning. Oh, God, I pray this morning, God, that each and every one of us, God, that begin to praise your holy name. Because you're worthy to be praised in the name of Jesus, God. I ask that you lift every minister up. Teach us, Lord. In the name of Jesus this morning, God, continue to walk with them. Guide them, lead them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. And use them the most for your glory, Lord. We need to the most, your glory, Lord. The glory, God. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, this morning, God, I just lift my family up to you, God. You know what they need. God. I ask that you watch the hand of the most, God. Break out of Moshe in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you, Lord, the hand of the most, God. Whatever, God, the hand of the most, God. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you this morning. I thank you for the blood. The blood of Jesus, hallelujah, your blood, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you. We just thank you this morning, God. We glorify your name, God. Look at us, that you bless the south, east, the north, and the west, God, in the name of Jesus, God. These things we ask you this morning, God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the blessed Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. We say amen, amen. Break in the name of
amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just give God a praise break. Just give him a praise right there. Just thank him right where you're at right now. Just thank him for all that he has done and all that he is going to do on today. Just thank him right now in the name of Jesus. Hey, thank him in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank him right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you on this morning, Father God. Yes, Lord. As we move on this morning, as we move on, I figured out something when I'm traveling. That's when me and God able to commune a little bit better. And over the week that just passed, we had so much power to come into our spirits. We were taught with the power. The Holy Spirit had its way, and we always know when Holy Spirit come in and he show out, one thing about it, his fire would never be diminished. It can only grow. It can only get hotter. It can only, expand. And I'm just grateful that that's something that I have identified. But as I was traveling, and I was seeking the Lord, chasing, I said, Father, where are we going to go in the morning? Where are we going to go? Where are we going? What is the daily manna that we're going to feed the people? And he gave me the word faithfulness. So on today, we want to speak on passing the faithfulness test. And we may go down a little memory lane in the Bible, but as I sit and say, I say it's an icon. We have an icon in ourselves, our apostle that has been just a living testimony, a living example. And sometimes I sit and on last night, I was like tackling to myself, and I say, Lord, I'm not in his shoes right now, and I don't even know if you would deem me worthy to be, Lord, but prepare me, Father God, because I understand that it is not an easy assignment, Lord, and everybody cannot and will not be able to do it. The word of God say many are called, but few are chosen, and I understand that concept so well. I understand it, but we're going in today, and I'm the first person that I will begin with, and it's many people. I want to first, I looked up the word, Googled the word faithful, and it was two definitions as nouns. One was remaining loyal and steadfast. The second was true to the facts or the original. So I want to start with Moses, because Moses was faithful to God's people. He was faithful to the Israelites during the 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. Time and time again, he successfully passed the faithfulness test. But we need to realize this. In them 40 years, God had to spend many years preparing Moses to lead the people out of bondage while they was in that desert. He had to spend plenty of years, 40 years, God had taught him how to be faithful. And you can find that in Exodus 2:23. And it goes into 3:1 as well. But we want to talk about Joshua today. Joshua had to learn to be faithful throughout the years, and he had loyally served Moses, and that's how he was able to understand. And this is one reason that God chose him, because he sat under Moses. He was a part of the things that he was a part of that those Israelites that was wondering. But am I politically correct to say that he may have served like as an administrative assistant? And when God chose Joshua to lead Israel after Moses' death, he knew Joshua would be a faithful leader because he had been trustworthy in the past. Joshua is an excellent an excellent example of a faithful person, and his life reminds us that God rewards the faithfulness. I'm going to say that again. Joshua's life, him being faithful, reminds us that God rewards faithfulness. God works through and blesses faithful people. People who are faithful in the wilderness, and when I say in the wilderness, if you all remember when Apostle Temple gave his testimony, he said, he kept saying, I was in the wilderness. He was doing these things in the wilderness, and the wilderness is in the times of testing, when you're going through some things, when you don't have everything, when you got to still keep pressing on, when suffering, rejection come in, betrayal come in, you don't have the necessities, some of the necessities in life to make it, so you just keep pushing on because you're trusting and knowing that God will take you where you need to be. And then we have a testing sometimes when we get into the promised land, and that's the times of blessing. See, when we get into the place in the time of blessing, that's when we sometimes lack off of our faithfulness, but you have to continue to be that way. Being faithful means being devoted, supportive, and loyal. Faithful people are worthy of trust or belief. They are reliable, consistent, and steadfast. They will stay. Hear me, because this my testimony, but I'm not going to tell it today. It's not about me. They will stay wherever God placed them and be true to those God has given them to work with. If you and I want to exercise authority, we must first learn to come under authority and stay wherever God has placed us until he moves us. Like Joshua, we must respect and be obedient to those in authority over us. We must do the right thing simply because it is right, even though we may never understand the whys and the whats in every situation, which is a real test. That's where your real test is, when you get to the point where you don't understand the whys, the wheres, the what, but you continue to stay steadfast and unmovable. You continue to trust the people that God has placed you up under. It's no need for you to question them because God placed you there. Now, if you know that God did not place you, or you second-guessing if God placed you, that's when I sit and say you test the Spirit. That's when you go back to the Lord and you say, Father, is this where you have me to be? And if not, Lord Jesus, I need you to move me. I need you to give me a sign. I need you to show me and put me in my prospective place. This is why you have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit as well, because the Holy Spirit is our lead and our guide. And one thing about it, the Holy Spirit is not going to make any mistakes. The Holy Spirit is going to take you to your prospective places. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you and continue to build you up, not tear you down. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you into a place of confusion, but he's going to lead you in a place of peace, in a place of rest. He's going to lead you into a place of refuge, and into a place where you can lay down in the green meadows while he continues to do everything for you. But this is the key. You have to be able to identify where you're supposed to be. And once you identify where you're supposed to be, you need to remain faithful and obedient. Those are the key words. See, sometimes we get into a place when things not going the way we want it to go. We want to sit and we want to question this, and we want to say this, and we start taking things personal when a teaching is coming forth, and then we lose out on where God wants us to be. See, the Israelites, they went through that. That's why they walked around the same mountain for 40 years. They walked around because they refused to be in a place of obedience. They refused, even though God was Moses' teacher. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Even though he was his teacher, they refused to listen. They refused to remain loyal. They refused to be steadfast. They refused to be in a place to receive what God had for them. They wanted to stay in the wilderness. Some of us want to stay in the wilderness. We want to stay in the wilderness because we choose not to conform to the things that God has for us. We want to question everything. But if we can question everything, and if we knew everything, and we can answer the whys, wheres, whats, and buts, then what do we need the Holy Spirit for? I'm going to pause for a second while you sit and you ponder on that. What do we need the Holy Spirit for? Why do God need to put people in places where they went before us and God uses them to pour into our lives and to teach us and to show us? Yeah, we may not agree with everything. We may not. But you ask yourself, in it. And God, I said I wasn't going to give a testimony. We had a situation and I failed my assignment. And I called the apostle and I said, apostle, and before I can even really get it all out, the Holy Spirit quickened me and said, you asked for what you're getting ready to get. So you better listen. And he only had to say, one thing did you do? Did you do what God called you to do? And there was no excuse. And then when he gave his testimony, I was able to understand. But Apostle Temple would tell you, I quickly said, you're right. Because, see, the Holy Spirit quickly quickened me to let me know, did you call for a confirmation of your failure? Or what was the purpose of your call? Because you got just what you didn't do what you were supposed to do, and there was no excuses for it. But, you know, sometimes in life, we go through, we feel some type of way and not realizing that this is how God is giving it to you. And this is where you and I need to be right now. We need to toughen our skins if we feel like that we're on the right path with God, because there are some times that you're going to get pinched. There are some times that you might misconstrue some different things. There are some times, but the beauty of it is that he still leaves that door, that gateway open where you can go and question the matter. It's okay to get a clarification on something, but you have to be in a place to receive whatever that clarification is. And see, that's faithfulness. That's being able to stand there or sit there or wherever you're at, and hear what Holy Spirit has to say to you about that situation. And knowing that whoever that leader is telling you truth. They speak in their spirit and truth. They're not sitting and making up anything to just make you feel bad, but they're speaking what God has said to them and letting you know that I'm not letting you and nobody else separate me from God. That's faithfulness. That's loyalty. That's loyalty. And see, we're going back to Joshua. Joshua sat up under Moses, and he was able to see the things that how God, where God was, and the things that God was. He was able to identify what God was doing with Moses, even though they were in the wilderness, even though they were in hard times. He was even able to be at a place to witness when Moses disobeyed God. God said, speak to the rock. Moses was in such a disarray, in a state of confusion. The people had and got on his nerves to the point that he hit the rock instead, but he disobeyed God. So God had to move on. God had to find somebody else that was going to take his people, that he promised, because his word does not come back void, into the promised land. And he chose Joshua. And Joshua accepted the assignment, knowing that he had to trust God, knowing that he had to be steadfast, immovable, knowing that he had to move on and leave the past behind him, not think about the negative or the negative things that these Israelites had done, not think about Moses had just died, and you know, God gave him a mourning period, but God was ready to move on, and he chose Joshua to move on, and he chose Joshua because the heart that Joshua had. He chose Joshua because when he told Joshua, don't be afraid, I am with you, he knew that Joshua believed him. He knew that Joshua was going to complete the assignment without any confusion, without any misconceptions, without taking things all out of every out of which way and every way, but saying, God, I am here to do your assignment. I am here. I am loyal. I am steadfast. I am unmovable. And I'm not going to move, Lord, until you move me. Because my faithfulness is to you, Lord. And anybody, Father God, that you have placed before me, I will be faithful to them. Yeah, there may be some times that I might have to come with a little bit of attitude. But I thank you, Lord, for quickening me and reminding me that that's my vessel. That's my choice for you at this point in time. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm talking to some people. Now, if you want to sit and act like you don't hear me or you don't recognize, that's you. If you want to continue to walk around in your wilderness for another 40 years, you done outdid the Israelites by now, then you continue to do so. Or you can put yourself in a place, make a sound decision that you recognize where God has you at this point in time and recognize the circle, the people that he chose for you to be at. And if he didn't choose you and you constantly having a situation, you constantly got some things going on, then maybe he did not place you where you're supposed to be. Maybe he didn't. So that's when you got to go back. It's okay. It's okay to talk to God. It's okay to question him to see what is going on. It's okay. You just got to be in a place to hear what he got to say and receive it. If he say pack your bags and move, go move. If he say sit yourself down, shut your mouth, and receive what I have for you, then sit yourself down, shut your mouth, and receive what he has for you. Minister Shakita, come on in here. I know you can add to this.
Yes, Evangeline. Good morning, Saint. And once again, thank you for tuning in with us. Yes, Saint. Faithfulness to God, as Evangeline was speaking upon. And it took me, when she spoke of Joseph, it took me to the verse, and I think she spoke of it. When the time drew near for the Israelites to die, for Israel to die, I'm sorry, he called for his son Joseph and said to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, put your hands under my thigh and promise you will show me kindness and faithfulness. We have to get to a point in life that we must choose to be faithful, not only things that we have in our life, but we must be faithful to God wholeheartedly. The promises and the enrichment that God promises us in our life give us a place of certainty that things will come to fruition in our heart. Faithfulness starts, we go back to self once more, with self. You must begin to be faithful with yourself. You must decide that there's things in yourself that no longer sits right with you that's going to push you away from the faithfulness. You must be faithful to your home, faithful in your workplace, faithful with your relationships. You must be faithful with all the things. There's multiple layers to the word faithfulness. And I know Apostle will probably speak more on it, but there are multiple layers on this that you must go on up those levels to get to the place to where you can be able to accept the faithfulness of God. See, we must accept and take accountability of the things in our life that is blocking us from being faithful to God. We must stay in a place of faithfulness in order to accept the things that God is bringing us in our life. But what's keeping us, what's blocking us? We must speak on those things also, and we cannot continue to stay in those places. We must walk out of those places. Being faithful to God, and it's ironic that we're speaking on faithfulness today, because today is my 4-year anniversary at ADM. And when I came into ADM doors, I didn't know what faithfulness was. I wasn't even faithful to myself or nothing that I had around me. But God, and God through Apostle, and God through First Lady, they grasped me at times and showed me the trueness of God and showed me how faithfulness and told me how faithfulness. They didn't just tell me. They showed me. God showed me the true faithfulness and what the things that if I would do this, if you stay here, you stay here and do this, if you walk with this, if you stay here, what you can walk into. If you do this, what you can walk into. If you subject yourself under supplication under different levels of people that you have in order to that's head over you, respectfully, humbly, effectively communicating with them, you will be going into places that you never seen before. That's the true faith of being faithful to God. That's the true faithfulness of Him. So my faith became enriched in God because I truly, God, didn't have nothing left. I was walking around that mountain, and I couldn't take it no more. I was tired in the spirit. My body wasn't tired. I was tired. My spirit was tired of going around the mountain. So my body collapsed. I can't take it no more, God. What am I to do, oh God? What is my walk with you, oh God? And that's the place that we have to get into in our life. And we must consistently stay there. What am I to do, oh God? What is my walk with you, oh God? What are you having me to do, oh God? What are you having me to speak upon, oh God, today? What do you have to do today? What do you have? What's my plans for you, oh God, today? Let your work come forth through me, oh God, righteously, God, humbly as I know how, God. Let your words flow through me. Let me not smite you, oh Lord. So I continually stay there, and I praise God no matter what. I praise God. I stay faithful to my home. I stay faithful to my church. I stay faithful to work. I try to do my best, 120%. Sometimes 1,000%, I go hard for God through these things that He provided for me. So that's being part of faithfulness also. Keeping yourself in alignment with God, seeking His praise, praising Him, doing your work, doing your praying, doing your research, doing your studies, coming to church, going, tapping in certain ministries, doing the things of God, asking what God have you to do. True faithfulness of God will bring enrichment to your life. It brings joy and peace into your life. I've never had so much peace and joy in my life that I could know that God is truly the faithfulness of God, the faithfulness of God, God that has been in my life, that's pouring into my life. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen, amen. Minister Chiquita did bring mention Joseph before I turn it over to Apostle Temple. Y'all have time to put your seatbelt on. I'm just doing a little, giving y'all time to get whatever turbulence, anything that's out of the way. But with Joseph was faithful. He came from the pit to the palace. He came from the pit to the palace because of his faithfulness to God, because of his him willing to obey God, and because of no matter where he was in his wilderness time, that's what we're talking about, his wilderness, he was in a place where he continued to be steadfast and immovable. Wherever his instructions was, he followed his instructions, knowing that his instructions, his answers, knowing that God was his guide at that time. knowing that he could not do anything with God and would not go and do anything without seeking God first. And this is why he, God, was able to use him and promote him to govern the land, and not just govern the land. He governed it through a time of famine. He saved the nation through a time of famine because he realized who he was faithful to. He realized who was pouring into him. He realized through whatever circumstances or situation that God was with him. So, yes, Joseph, it was considered a very, very, very faithful man. He absolutely was. And we thank God for his story, because if you read his story, there are a lot of things that may stick out that you can use in your day-to-day, day-to-day living when you're going through the different trials and tribulations. You're not going to read in the Bible under the account of Joseph where he questioned God about anything. That Joseph had to be broken from his haughtiness, and when he was, he realized that, okay, God is for me, I'm going to be for him as well. I will be faithful through my times of trouble. And that's why he was able to come from the pit to the palace. Over to you, Apostle. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. God bless you all. All right, thank you all. You know, hopefully I could articulate this in the short amount of time I have, because just got a little bit of time. Amen. God bless you all for tuning in. It's thousands of you sent your requests, and you want us to tap back into prayer. And I felt it all last night, and I felt it all this morning, you know, where prayer was at. You know, even the stage was set, you know, to switch where we was going at this morning into worship, into prayer. You know, it really was a very order atmosphere that we could have took advantage of. Amen. So God bless you all. I want to tap back into that area of prayer without ceasing. And we tap back into that area of our intercessory prayer. Some of the things I'm just going to tie into what the minister and evangelist, they were sharing. But, you know, share with it, you know, because one other area when prayer, when faithfulness, it is steadfast. It's the same thing when it's when the Bible or the scripture declares prayer without ceasing. It's an area of steadfast. It's an area that where you are keeping a constant prayer. It's not an area to where you pray when you need something. You pray you're in trouble, or you begin to talk to God when you're going through something. It's something that I talk to God regardless. Amen. I'm communicating with God regardless. I really want to take y'all so deep into this here, but you could really have an eye-opener in certain things that we begin to do and certain things we begin to connect with. Amen. So we have to understand that even in our prayer language, faithfulness has to come with it. Because at the end of the day, that's how the beginning of the relationship with God starts. It starts with what? Communication. We established that on yesterday, how communication is a communication is the definition pertaining to prayer. We are communicating to the spirit realm. We are communicating to the Father. So most of the prayers get challenged to who? To the Father. Amen. I have a lot of prayers that goes towards the Father, but I have a lot of conversations that is between me and the Holy Spirit. Amen. But even though, like I shared with you all yesterday, the conversation that I had with the Holy Spirit is still connected to the Father. So they are one. All of that is connected. So it's as if I'm talking to the Father. When I talk to the Father, it's just like I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's as if. It's no secret to hear. You know, so many people walk with secretives and, you know, say something to me. Listen, I tell anybody, if you don't want my wife to know anything, don't tell me, you know, because at the end of the day, I can't walk around in secretive. Amen. It's not right, and it's not right to my companion, because at the end of the day, I should be able to trust my companion. I should be able to trust. Why? Because me and my companion is one. At the end of the day, we are one. So, you know, and when you begin to walk around with secrets and all that kind of stuff, especially with your core individual and different things like that, now we're saying use wisdom, but at the end of the day, it will create some issues. It's going to create. The enemy know how to get that thing and play with that thing. So there's no secret tales between the Father pertaining to the information here on earth. Now, God probably, the Father don't share all his plans, you know, with the Son and the Holy Ghost. How can you say that, Pastor? Well, Scripture declares, you know, not even the Son in heaven or not even the Son knows the day or time when the Father is going to come, when the end of the world, when the rapture, when the different things going to take place. Not even him know the day and time. The only person that knows that who is the Father, or the Father that is going to happen. So he has a plan that he's going to execute, amen, that he knows himself. But for the information that comes through prayer, information that comes through this line, all three of them, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they are on the same page. They already know. So you ain't going to be able to try to convince the Holy Spirit something, my God Almighty, that doesn't even agree with the Father. And so many people does that, amen, when they come with this stuff that, you know, in prayer, they begin to have these little pity parties and God working on me and God doing this stuff here and all this kind of stuff here. They'll be talking to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit is a comforter. But one thing I know about the Spirit of God, he's a comforter. He will let you know, amen, go ahead, wipe your tears, go ahead and keep moving. And as you keep moving in the will of the Father, everything is going to be all right. The Holy Ghost is not going to sit here and lie to you. And so many people in their prayer language, they have a mixture of the spirit realm and a mixture of them. And they begin to put their own self-influence or their own self-thoughts or their own self-decision in the midst of their prayer, and they begin to get these wild answers. As the evangelism minister was sharing about how the instructions of God begin to come to certain individuals, well, that's still in the form of prayer, in the form of prayer. Now, we got to understand that in prayer, we are given a request. We're given a petition. We are given exaltation. We devoting. We're given worship. We're given all that in prayer. Amen. So many of you have different types of prayer language. Many of you have prayer styles. Amen. Not everyone's prayer styles is the same. Some people are the same, and some people not. The power of your prayer, if you could tap into your own prayer style and your own prayer language. You know, my prayer language and how I pray, you might not pray like like me. You got to tap into your style. I remember years ago when I was just coming up in the body of Christ, and I had this leader, and this leader always, you know, say, you need to pray like this. Get on your face, and you need to get on your face for hours and hours and hours. But I felt better when I sat up in the chair. I could get on my face and pray for a couple hours, but, you know, I'm not going to spend the whole day. I felt better when I was in the spirit when I just walked around. I was in the spirit when I sat up in the chair. I was feeling the spirit more, amen, when I was doing different things, amen. You might pray that way and you could get a tap in, but that doesn't mean that's how I pray. My prayer style is different. And this is what people have to understand, because they begin to try to transform people into their prayer style or into their prayer understanding. It was multiple ways in the Bible how different individuals pray. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel wasn't praying, laying down on his face in the lion's den. What Daniel was doing? Daniel was up there just standing into intercession and prayer, believing God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go. Matter of fact, they didn't even have to say anything. The Bible didn't even say they was just calling out to God. That, you know, they just believe if God take them to God, just take me, take them. But they still gonna win. But they ain't gonna bow down to what you say. What? And the scripture declares there was a what? There was a fourth man in the furnace. Amen. There was a fourth man. So why the fourth man was there, even if they ain't got into the furnace and say, Father, you know what? I need your presence. Rain down fire. Come on in here. Why the fourth man was there? Because they was already in prayer. They was in prayer when they already went in there. Why? Because they was already in the will of God. And they was in the will of God. And when you're in the will of God, guess what? You're already in that frequency channel when you're dealing with communication and you're dealing with prayer. When you are in the will of the Father, it's like we're on this phone line right now, and we are in the will of the frequency of this phone line, and we able to communicate back and forth, and we able to hear each other, amen, as we communicate. Why? Because we are connected to the frequency, not my God, that we called in or we logged in by the internet. Same thing in the spirit realm. One thing about it, when you out of the frequency, you can't hear instructions. When you out of the frequency, I can't hear your petition. I can't hear what you were saying. Then you call me, amen, and you wasn't on the phone line, then you just say, hey, Pastor, you know, did you hear my testimony? I said, no, I didn't hear your testimony when you gave your testimony. Well, when y'all was on the phone line, you know, or when you was on the prayer line, I was giving my testimony. Well, was you was on the prayer line? No, I wasn't on the prayer line. I just had the phone in my hand. I didn't call in, but I was hoping y'all heard it. No, we didn't hear it because why? You wasn't on. You wasn't on a right frequency. You wasn't in the will of what was going on. So if you wasn't in the will of what was going on, how can I hear what you had to say? How can I hear, my God, your petition, your quest, or your testimony? Same thing in prayer. Same thing in the walking with God. How can you expect God to hear certain petitions and answer certain petitions and give you, my God Almighty, the answers that you need when you ain't in the will? First thing that I have to tell that individual, next time when you want to give a petition or next time you need me to hear your testimony or you want somebody to hear your testimony, you need to get connected. How you get connected, call in on this number or you can log in by the internet and you can be able to call, send your petition out. We'll be able to hear you and we'll be able to communicate with you. Y'all hear me this morning? And that way your request or your petition or your testimony will be made what? It will be made known. Because why? Your connection or the frequency is correct. My God Almighty. And this is the thing that people, you have to understand. Long as your connection, you in the will of God, your frequency is correct. Amen. You walk in always. It's when you outside of the will of God when you got some issues. But when you inside of the will of God, we have different forms of communication. We have different forms of conversation, different forms of prayer. Don't you think when God spoke to Isaac and tell Isaac about the son and sacrifice, amen, that was a communication going on, amen? My God, you got to understand throughout Genesis all the way through, my God, Malachi, how God was on the scene and how he was communicating and talking and how they was talking back to them. You didn't hear everybody just laid on that face and did everything. Let's look at the man of God. I think it was Joshua. Amen. When Joshua said, you know, if God, you do this for me and you do that for me, then you will be my God and I will be yours. Amen. And Joshua was walking, giving that petition, giving that prayer onto talking to who? Talking to God with what? A petition. The Bible never said that Joshua had to go and go into the wilderness and go and put a sheet over his head and lay down on the floor, and he had to speak in tongues, cry, roll around a couple of times, get up, spin around three times. You in a new season, you in a new change, put oil on your head, fall out, and speak in tongues some more, then get on and you cough and prove, get all that out of you because you were deceiving and you had all that going on, so you need deliverance now. You need to cough all that out of you before you talk to God. And the Bible never said none of that stuff. The Bible said and talked about the petition that Joshua, matter of fact, it was a deal. It was a deal that that man of God made with him. It was a deal. Amen. And so what happened was God honored his end of the bargain in that. Read that story. Amen. Then he honored his end of the deal. Amen. There was vow was made. There was agreement that was done. Amen. And he honored that. It wasn't all that. But let's look at another story. Look at David. When David committed a sin and David did wrong, then the prophet Aaron had to come and confront David and be the mouthpiece of God. And the prophet told David what's going to happen. Your firstborn, my God, God's going to take it away and all that. What the Bible declares, David went into a form of prayer. He laid on his face and began to intercede and ask for what? Ask for forgiveness. So David went into another form of prayer that it was, my God, a different form of prayer. He said he laid on his face, amen, and he began to what? Intercede, my God, to who? To the Father, amen, to ask for what? For forgiveness. So David went into a prayer of repentance. Amen. He went into a prayer of repentance. You got to understand, this man was a mighty warrior. This man was king. You know, he led so many things. Amen. And he had so many conversations and guidance by God. You have to understand that. So we got different forms of prayer and different forms of different things that move. Some of you, your prayer language is in a form of worship. Amen. It's in a form of praise. That's evangelist there. prayer all day. Her form of prayer or her prayer language is always come in the form of praise. When she begin to praise and begin to talk to God or begin to commune with God in praise, things begin to happen to her. Breakthroughs and different things begin to come off and different things like that. Minister Shaquita, she more of an intercessor. She begins to go and just speak in tongues, begin to thank you, and she begins to come up on a very spiritual emotions, amen, pertaining to the Spirit of God. So we have different types of prayer language and different types of prayer, and you got to understand that all of them, we still, long as you're walking in the will of God, we in. That's why God ever communicate with you, and you able to recognize the Spirit is talking to me, amen, because why? I'm in the right frequency. I'm on the right channel, amen, pertaining to the Spirit of the living God. So we doing what? We are praying without ceasing, amen. We are walking without ceasing, amen. I want to show you something, amen, because different things begin to trigger different prayer. It begins to take you in, even the songs, even different things that is around you. It begins to take you into a certain place pertaining to prayer. But all of them have a certain measure. It depends on who you are, where you at, what place you in, amen, how different things begin to trigger you, amen, and begin to trigger your spirit. That's why I always challenge people to tap into that area. You know that area. You can't tap into my area because this is who I am. But you got to tap into the area, my God, of prayer or intercession of who you are, amen? You have to tap into that area. So let's begin to just real quick, if y'all could give me about 5 minutes, and I'm going to show you some different things, exactly what Pastor's talking about, amen? So let's begin to look at this real quick. We're going to play a little worship music. Then we're going to play a little praise, and we're going to get some understanding how the different styles of flow. But guess what? The wording and the praising and giving thanks to God and the submission, at the end of the day, the end result is still the same. It might comes in praise. It might comes in worship. It might comes with an up tempo. It might comes with a low tempo. It might comes with a high pitch, or it might comes with a low pitch. At the end of the day, it's dealing with somebody's place and the time that they are with that they was in, how this communication began to come out. It's just like many of you, amen. You got anger, you got standards, you got passion, you got all that. And because of where you at and what type of incident or type of situation took place, that's how you're going to express your communication. Some things, by God Almighty, you're going to express that I am upset. Amen. You're expressing your communication. Yeah, some things, you know, you are going to express to where I appreciate what you did for me. Thank you. You will express that in another tone. You don't express how you appreciate somebody in a tone to where you are showing I am upset. You don't went across the line. Amen. And that's two different types of what? Tones. That's two different types of what? Styles. That's two different types of what? So let's begin to look at this one here. Amen. This type of style here into intercessory prayer. Now we're dealing with worship. We're dealing with worship. We're dealing with a slow phase. And we're dealing with worship. Amen. And it's, you can hear it in the background. Amen. You're dealing with slow worship. Now this is an area to where it really settling folks down, settling you down. This type of tempo here is taking you into that place. Amen. Just taking you into that place of peace. Taking you in that place of rest. It's just taking you into that place. My God, and it's doing all that right now. So you begin to go into a worship, you begin to go into a place of relaxation and a place of meditation. And this is for the people that love to just settle down and they, you know, they break through. This is how they get. Now the song round of the Lord. That's why I want to pour out your love before Him. Now, form of prayer. This is a form of request that is coming in a form of what? It's coming in a form of a song. It's coming in the form of ministry, and it's coming in a form of worship. So we got to understand that it's different types when we begin to pray without ceasing. That type there was in the form of worship. That type there was in the form of It wasn't so much a praise, but it was so much exalting God. It was so much of a request. It was so much of a petition that God, pour out your love on me. Pour out more on me. Pour out yourself on me. That was a petition that is being requested by God. Amen? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Now, let's look at something else. Amen? Let's look at this one right here. Amen? This one right here. Now we're dealing with the now we're dealing with another request. But guess what? His tempo, my God Almighty, is slow. It's slow, but it wasn't slow that the one that heard. Amen. So what? I bow down to praise you. What happened in this that going on? Well, the first one, pour out more on, pour out more on. Now this worship prayer. No matter if I'm still going to praise you. How many on this side can do this situation, no matter what, if I and all you can still worship you, still praise you. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to open up my for worship. Open up my mouth and give you the praise and give you the glory. How many of you, my God, don't get through a place of petition and a place of worship in your prayer time to where you can just assault God? How many of you don't get through the hell and high water and at the end of the day, so walk by faith and not by sight? Say, God, I'm still going to praise you, God. I'm still going to worship, God. I'm still going to lift up your name. Come on. See, now we hear a testimony that is coming in the form of request. So now this man of God is giving his prayer language as a ministry tool for other individuals. He said, I'm bound to praise you. So he's talking about and testifying about his life, but in his prayer request and his place with God, and begin to what? Do what? He begins to give it to all other individuals, my God, for they can take a hold. So a lot of times in worship, in prayer, and in intercession, amen, you begin to get blessed, my God Almighty, because of somebody else and the things that they don't submit it to and yield to God. And you begin to feel where they are. You begin to feel the presence. And you begin to tap into that, not in the form of their life, but you begin to tap into that in the form of who life? Your life. And you begin to come and thank God and worship God, my God, no matter what, because you begin to reflect back on what? Your life, where you don't been at. Amen? Come on, somebody. Now, he's saying, God, I bow to praise you regardless if I'm happy or sad and regardless what I'm going through. Now, that is place of what? Worship. Now, let's look at this place of praise. Let's look at this place of praise. You're going to see that at the end of the day, their request of their testifying of the Son is still in the same, my God, same vein, but it's just coming with a different beat. It's coming with a different tempo, but guess what? It's still a prayer. It's still a worship. It's still letting you know where I'm at. Watch this. Let's go into this one right here. Hallelujah. Now we're dealing with a person is what they give a knowledge what the person talked about yesterday. You pray. Our Father, you know, would that be our name? So that was a prayer of what? A prayer of another. So what is another? It's another. God is he's acknowledging that God is a he's another. God of mine, that he's on the side. I can tell him what is a form of acknowledgement that the Lord is my what? Now let's look at my God as God. Talk about no matter what feel about the praise. Now what's going on right here? It's a praise going on. It's like my body. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna get the glory. I'm getting the praise. It doesn't matter what's going on. So it's the same vein, but it's coming what? In a different language. The prayer, but it's coming into prayer. It talks about what the healer, deliverer. I don't got time to be here and suffer in my peace. And to be blind, I'm going to get up out of this situation, no matter what. What the songwriter said in worship, he said, it doesn't matter if I'm feeling good. It doesn't matter if I'm feeling bad. I'm still going to bow down to worship you. What this songwriter say? I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you because you're a healer. I'm going to praise you because you're a deliverer. That's what you've done. That's the most. Know what you've done. I'm going to praise him. Look, come on, somebody. My God Almighty, I got to hear that right there. So you got to understand these different areas of prayer, these different areas of exaltation, these different levels, and you got to understand that so many people feel as though they're not in the vein because they need to go somewhere and close their head, get a press shawl, anoint themselves, and put it over their head and begin to all that kind of stuff. Listen, God, I tell people all the time, and folks be trying to make God feel like he's illiterate. God is not illiterate. You got to understand these different languages that we have. Guess who created? You better read about the Tower of Babylon. Amen. Guess who created these different tongues, these different nationalities, these different languages? Because I don't speak Hebrew in my prayer, that doesn't mean God ain't hearing me, ain't saying the correct word. God is not ignorant. He's not illiterate to your prayer language and to your prayer style. You need to get away from these religious folks that trying to help you in a place of captivity because you don't understand that native tongue of Hebrew. You don't understand that native tongue of Greek. But baby, let me tell you something. Just assure my God Almighty that in that time it was a native tongue of Hebrew and Greek. Just assure he done created some English. Just assure he created French. French. Just assure he created Arabic. Just assure he done created Spanish. Just assure, y'all about to come on. Yeah, just assure where my Kingston Jamaican people at. Just assure he done created Patois. Y'all about to hear me up in here. So we have to understand that even in our native tongues and what we say, amen, God is not ignorant that at the end of the day, when you say God, that's a white man word. That's a word that you ain't want to use. Baby, let me tell you something. God ain't ignorant. When I say God, he know I'm reverencing him. He know what I'm talking to him. That's you trying to bring my God notation and natural quotation. I don't care if I don't say nothing. God know I praise in him. I might got to praise him in the inside. My God, do you know how many people can't speak? How many people that is blind? How many people don't even know sound language? And at the end of the day, they still got something in their heart that, my God, let everything that has breath, y'all about to help me here, praise ye the Lord. So I want to tell my brothers and sisters, you might not know all the scriptures. You might not have Greek or Hebrew training or teaching. God is not ignorant. God is no, he's not Baptist, he's not Perseverance, he's not Islam, he's not none of that. You cannot put God in the box. The Bible, it declares that the Lord has the whole world in his hand. He created it. He created, he even interprets the chirping sound, the chirping sounds of the birds. He created different things to be a worship. Be who you are. Don't let people with this nonsense to try to detour you. Be who you are. Tap into the area of who you are. Don't try to be conformed into something else. You know, you got to face the east side. You got to face towards the east side. Have your palms up. Put something over your head, and you begin to pray for God to hear you. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. God wants your soul. He don't care about your style and all that kind of stuff. You need to figure that out. He wants your soul. He wants your relationship. All that other stuff, don't try to make it complicated. At the end of the day, that's what God wants. Don't get so caught up into people's version. And you got to understand, somebody wrote these. It's an author behind these books. I don't care if you went to jail and you got all this library knowledge. It was the author behind it. At the end of the day, it was the author behind these material. It's the author behind this book. It's the author behind it. So all this information is not coming directly. It's been interpreted from the source. And some of this information is coming from people, research, and people understanding that they did. Is it correct because it's in a book? No, it doesn't mean it's correct. It doesn't mean it's correct because it's in a book. doesn't mean it's correct because they don't got facts and got some research and stuff done on it. That's why I tell people in the Old Testament, they didn't have information. All they have no book. They have no King James. It wasn't even the thought about being developed. All they have is their what? Their walk and their experiences with God. That's what you need to have. Back to you, Evangelist. I'm out.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Sorry we didn't have enough time to get that from the very beginning, but we just thankful to the Lord for all that he has and just praying again that we will go into deeper depths and add that to our teaching portion. And again, Apostle Temple is teaching us. We are in a teaching phase and just being a place to receive it. And one thing I want to petition everybody to do, when we come on in the morning, get you some paper pencils, and jot down the things that stick out to you. Jot it down. Because I promise you, somewhere down the line, it's going to come back, and you're able to go back to that information because it's not in vain. It is not in vain. The information that you receive today about the different forms of prayer is not in vain. And you're able to disseminate that information to somebody else. That's what's important, that the words that God is sharing with us, we share to somebody else. So once again, we thank Apostle Temple for him doing what he does and doing what he loves most. If you all can't see it by now, then I don't know what to sit and say. But this is this is Friday. We pray that you all have a beautiful relationship. I mean, for it, beautiful, yeah, relationship with the Lord, with your family, with everybody that you come in contact with. Just let them know who God is in your life. You don't have to talk about it. Be about it. Show them. Show them the things that you're learning. Show them what God is teaching you. Show them exactly who you are by being about it. So we will see you all back on Sunday morning. Yes, we have a fifth Sunday this month. We will see you all online at 10:45. Of course, the broadcast starts at 11, but because there are multitudes, I love that word, multitudes of people getting on the line, you have to be one of those people. If the line is busy, don't give up. Keep calling in. I promise you that you will receive a blessing that when you, how you came on the line, you will not be that same person when you get off the line. So God bless you. He loves you. ADM loves you, but one thing we do realize, that God loves us best, and we love him too because he first loved us. So you all have a beautiful weekend in Jesus' name. Amen.
somebody, somebody.